For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the forces, the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so, with that being part of the premise of this sermon, you may also be familiar with the phrase, strike while the iron is hot. It's an idiom, and that means to seize an opportunity immediately when conditions are favorable, before the chance passes. The origin of that was from a blacksmith craft, that if you don't strike while the iron is hot, it couldn't be molded and shaped in how you wanted it to be. And so it should be to no surprise that today's lesson focuses and comes from the study of Genesis. At least it was originated from our study in Genesis. You'll recall last quarter, I introduced the Genesis study, there were some early observations that were made in class about how there was free will to choose, and about how quickly Satan appears in the storyline, and how he begins to create havoc with God's plan. We tend to see Satan as a given in the story. We also touched on how Genesis is the book of beginnings. I don't think I turned this on, did I? There we go. Sorry about that. We also touched on how Genesis was the book of beginnings, the creation of heavens and earth, the creations of life, of mankind, of sin. But one question we had in class was, well, where'd Satan come from? What's his beginning? What does the scriptures say about Satan and his origins? You'll recall that he entered the storyline very, very early in the book of Genesis, while Adam and Eve are in the garden. And he begins with the lying deception that he gives to Eve in chapter 3, verse 1. Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree? We also see him in the book of Job, as he and God have this conversation about Job. And I want to open up to that and look at just a couple verses that this is introduced. In Job chapter 1, starting in verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before God, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, well, from roaming about on the earth and from walking around on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is none like him on the earth, blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. So here we see Satan is about roaming the earth. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? We also see Satan on the 40 days and 40 nights of Jesus' temptation on the mountain, over in Matthew chapter 4. In the Gospels, we see that Satan has entered the heart of Judas to betray Jesus. So we see throughout the Scriptures that Satan continues to be a key figure in the Scriptures and even in our own lives as he tries to tear us away from God. Let's go to the scriptures. Most of the scriptures that you're now going to see on the projector will be some paraphrases that I have just to conclude the gist of it. So if you're taking notes, it'll be up there, but I'll elaborate more as we go through the sermon. But in 1 Peter 5:8, be of sober spirit, be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. James 4:7 says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Today I'm going to share a variety of passages that are clear about this adversary, the devil, and his origins. And I will share with you at least a couple scriptures that have perhaps a dual meaning that might refer to Satan. So I'm using that because there is some contention in regards to these two passages that I will reference later in the sermon. Does it really speak about simply the king of Babylon, or is there a dual meaning about Satan? And as I studied it, I can simply say, I don't know, I am not sure. But I want to present those twos for your consideration as well. So if you're considering going into a deeper dive into this study, at least those two passages will have been brought up. But let's begin with perhaps the creation of Satan. We know the creation of Satan to be true because the apostles John and Paul, through inspiration, we learn this about Satan. And though he is writing in regards to the supremacy of Jesus, John 1, 1 through 5 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Colossians 1:16, "For in him," obviously referring to Jesus, "all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So here we see that he is a created being. But we don't get that detail in our Genesis account. The scriptures later give us these teachings that we can extract from that he was also a created being. In Job 38, verses 4 through 7, it describes in the NIV how the angels shouted for joy as God laid the earth's foundations, which again is yet another indication that he existed before the world as we read it. In Job 38, God sits down with Job and fires a list of questions at him. And I'm going to start in verse 4. As God now speaks to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who sets its measures, since you know? Or who stretched the line on it? Or what were its bases sunk on? Or who laid the cornerstones while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy?" So you see, it seems that we're learning that these angelic beings were there. "Where were you, Job, when I did all this?" he says. I believe a clear conclusion is that they were there at the creation of the earth. And they witnessed God's work that we read about in Genesis 1 and in 2 when we began our study. They were there and they shouted for joy. We also recognize that Satan had free will, much like us. In Jude, verses 5 through 7, it says, "Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe." But verse 6 says, "And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for the judgments on that great day." In similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sensual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer punishment of eternal fire. So here we see they abandoned their proper dwelling place. Choice. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. "For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment. If he didn't spare the ancient world when he brought a flood upon the ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning the ashes, and made them as an example of what's going to happen to the ungodly. So here, again, we see when they sinned, they had that choice. Satan had that choice. So this free will, this choice, came with Satan's ability to sin. And in doing so, God's punishment. But also, Satan had an ability to influence, also like us. Notice that in those versions, in that 2 Peter, that says he did not spare the angels when they sinned. Plurality. We see a plurality also in Matthew chapter 24. Here, they're bringing to Jesus. They brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. And all the people were astonished and said, could this be the son of David? But verse 24 says, but when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it's only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow casts out demons. The prince of demons, a plurality, the ability to influence. But I'll now give you a little bit of good news. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. That's Jesus. The one who is in you is greater. So, not only have we learned that Satan was created, has free will, and will be punished for his choices, and punishment will also come to those who follow him and who he is able to influence. This continues in Matthew chapter 25. This is Jesus speaking about the judgment. Verse 41, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. You see, the devil and his angels have influence. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Paul writes, and even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age, referencing Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that display the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You see, the purpose of the devil and his demons is simply to draw us away from God, to blind us, and to bring us to death. Again, a little bit of good news in Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, referencing Jesus, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise also partook of the same, that through death, Jesus, that he might render powerless him who had power of death, that is, the devil. The devil brings about death. Jesus rendered him powerless. So once again, we see a created being with free will, punishable as a result of sin, also has the power of influence, with also would end in death. However, Jesus could render him powerless. So we see some origins of Satan riddled through the scriptures that we can piece together. And we can see how Jesus renders him powerless. But then I wondered, was it always this way for Satan? He had this choice. How and when was he created? The spiritual beings witnessed God's creation. They shouted for joy. It's almost as if they had their own version of Eden, a dwelling place to be with God, even before our version of Eden in the garden. But let me explain. So here, these next two passages, there is some debate in regards to whether this duality is referencing simply the king of Babylon and the king of Tyre, or is there a duality in regards to the spiritual Babylon, hell, and the king being Satan? I found it interesting that there are times that we've seen name changes in the scriptures. We saw Abram change to Abraham. We saw Sarai to Sarah. We saw Jacob to Israel. And perhaps Lucifer. In Ezekiel 18 and in Isaiah chapter 12 will be these next couple verses that I'm not sure on. So I'm going to be very cautious in how I speak about this. But if you get into your studies, you might find it also and might need to have a deeper dive. In Ezekiel 18, in describing to the king of Tyre about perhaps Satan and about what happens to him, in verse 12, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Verse 13 says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. And then it goes on to describe every precious stone was your covering, ruby, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, turquoise, emerald, and the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. Clearly, early on, it is a description of the king. But there are some that suggest there's this duality. Does it reference Satan as well? And I'll simply say, I don't know, but I wanted to share that passage with you for your consideration. But he says, from the day that you were created until righteousness was found, until unrighteousness was found in you, hence the choice. And you sinned, says verse 16. So here we possibly see this description, not just the duality of description of the king of Babylon, but perhaps Satan, Lucifer himself. Lucifer, we only find that used in one version, I believe, and it's only one time. It's going to be over in Isaiah chapter 12, and this is that second scripture that I was referencing, Ezekiel 18, and now Isaiah chapter 14. The New King James will render this, "Oh, you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mountain of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." What a boast. "Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." Now, whether that is simply an alone description of the king of Babylon, or perhaps that it might include Satan, but we do know this, what is true for the king of Babylon, and if it is true about, this is also referencing Satan or Lucifer, it's also true about us, that if we boast, we know the passage, pride cometh before a fall. Now, as we see in the New Testament, the description is no longer beauty and perfection and full of wisdom. John 8:44, Jesus speaks to the Pharisees and says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and a father of lies." From the beginning. So we see as we study Genesis and that first lie that he gives to Adam and Eve, there's the deception, there's the lie. So now we see the description of Satan no longer, if it's Lucifer as the thing that had all these emeralds and all this gold and all this purity. We see him as the father of lies, a liar, a murderer. 1 Peter 5:8 mentioned that he was a roaring lion seeking whom he could devour. And now we add 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. I'll start in verse 13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles. No wonder, verse 14 says, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. So now, liar, father of lies, murderer, roaring lion, a deceiver, an angel of light. We add to that list in Revelations, oh dear. It's okay. Listen to this description. I'll start in verse 7. Revelations chapter 12. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war. And they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who was called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Now, I don't know if this is a tie-in to that Job series where they see God's creation and they shout for joy, and now this battle is now happening. And I don't know the timestamp, so I'll be clear on that. But it's something to consider. 1 John 3:8 says, "One who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." And as we recognize the beginnings for us, we go to Genesis chapter 1 as our beginnings. And so now he's a sinner from the beginning. Hebrews chapter 2 also gives us some additional, I think we already touched on this once before, that he has the power of death. Verse 14, "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood," meaning Jesus once again, "he himself," I did mention this verse earlier, "he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death," Jesus, "he might render powerless him who had the power of death," that is, the devil. He had the power of death. But let's complete 1 John 3:8, because this, I believe, is a really important passage for all of us. 1 John 3:8, "The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." The verse finishes with this: "The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil." That's the purpose of Jesus, to destroy the works of the devil. I'm going to end the sermon with 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to start in verse 50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on imperishable, this mortal must put on immortality. But when the perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortality will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, 'O death, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?' The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." Thanks be to God, who gives us victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain. Perhaps I leave you with this. This could be a theme for the year. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil in the Lord. See, I tried that. Knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. And the lesson is yours. Scripture's about Satan, but more so about how Jesus is the victor in this battle. If you have any need to recognize this victory in Jesus, come forward as we stand and as we sing.